It's a report card, and it's a prognostication. It is the president saying, this is what I would like to do in the coming year. The State of the Union is essentially a homework assignment from the framers of the Constitution to every president who has lived ever since. The Constitution tells them that they periodically must tell Congress how the country's doing. If a president wants to lean hard to one side or hard to the other side, then you might see more political purpose in the State of the Union, although often it's just a general sense of, let's move this direction. The whole thing is a huge pageant. The president comes walking in, escorted by members of the House and Senate. The sergeant of arms announces him, and everybody stands and cheers. And there's quite a crowd there. Everyone has assigned seating. Right behind the president, you will find the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives and the president of the Senate, which will be the vice president of the United States. And then the two parties generally stay on their side of the aisle. You typically have the Supreme Court there. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are there, representing the military. And the First Lady will also be there, usually with some sort of special guest in recent years that will illustrate some point the president is making. One of the coolest parts of the presidential address is always the missing cabinet member and figuring out who it's going to be. One member of the cabinet always has to be somewhere else in case something terrible happened. So presumably you could have the Secretary of Agriculture sitting somewhere thinking about hog futures, and suddenly he's the President of the United States, which would be a huge shock to him. Since the 1960s, the opposition has also issued a response. That is someone selected by the opposing party to stand up and refute what the president said, or say perhaps we have different ideas about how the government should be conducting itself and where we should be going in the coming year.
The European Union, an economic and political alliance, now has 27 member countries. The United Kingdom has officially left it in what was called Brexit, the British exit from the EU. Britain is the first country ever to leave the alliance. It had been a founding member of the EU when it was formed in 1993, but in June of 2016, Britons voted 52% to 48% to leave the Union, basically because they didn't agree with its economic and political policies. In an election in December, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative Party won enough seats in Parliament to finally push through Brexit. Now, Britain has until the end of the year to negotiate its new relationship with the EU.
We are leaving. We're never coming back.
It's been almost 4 years since the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union, and it's been quite a journey.
It is the long and tortured story of Brexit.
Here's a look back at how Brexit unfolded. It all started in 2016, when a referendum asked the British people whether they wanted to stay in the EU or leave.
For the first time ever, a nation has voted to leave the European Union.
From there, it was a series of complicated twists and turns, elections and resignations, deadlines and extensions. Prime Minister David Cameron stepped down right after the referendum result.
I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination.
Former Home Secretary Theresa May took his place and vowed she would be the one to deliver Brexit.
Brexit means Brexit.
Negotiating plans were crafted, and nearly a year after the referendum, the official process of the UK leaving the EU began, with a departure date of March the 29th, 2019. Seeking a stronger mandate to negotiate with the EU, May called a general election.
The country is coming together, but Westminster is not.
But her plan to get a stronger majority backfired.
It didn't go in her favour. The Conservative Party, her party, losing its majority.
During the Brexit negotiations, the two sides had a huge number of matters to settle, including citizens' rights, the Irish border, and the divorce bill.
They have to pay.
After more than a year of negotiations, the two sides reached a deal.
Theresa May has just scored a big win in Brussels, but her biggest challenge will come on the home front. Mrs. May has around 2 weeks to convince Parliament to back her deal.
But May was handed the largest defeat in the history of the House of Commons when lawmakers voted the deal down.
The noes have it!
May tried to pass the bill twice more, but to no avail. And so she had no choice but to ask to extend the Brexit deadline.
A flexible extension of the Article 50 period until the 31st of October.
After her failure to secure Britain's exit from the EU, May gave in to political pressure and announced she would step down.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold.
Boris Johnson goes through the door of number 10.
Johnson's mission was to deliver Brexit by October the 31st.
There is scope to do a new deal.
At the last minute, he managed to do just that.
There is a new Brexit deal.
But just like his predecessor, he failed to get British lawmakers on board. So Johnson was forced to ask the European Union for a further extension to the Brexit process. The October 31st deadline was pushed back. And for the third time in 4 years, Britain had a general election, after Johnson called for an early election, hoping that would give him the majority that he needed to pass the deal.
3.5 years on from the referendum, this is a nation as fatigued over the issue as it is divided.
The Prime Minister campaigned on a single, simple slogan, "Get Brexit done," and Britain seemed to agree. With a new majority, Brexit got the green light in the UK Parliament, with a departure date of January 31st. Now, as Johnson ushers Britain out of the EU, the next complex stage of the process begins, negotiating the future trade deal with the EU, which he said would be done by the end of 2020.
The new clock is ticking. 11 months is extremely short.
If a deal isn't reached, Britain risks crashing out of the European Union. And with that no-deal cliff edge still looming at the end of the year, the reality is that Brexit is just getting started.
A telescope on top of a Hawaiian volcano captured our 10 out of 10 segment today. The kaleidoscopic image of oozing amber looks as if the telescope was pointed down into a volcano, but this is actually the surface of the sun, and the movement you see is believed to be rising and sinking cells of plasma. Scientists hope projects like this will help them better understand Earth's nearest star and better predict space weather and solar storms. Maybe the sun isn't ready for its close-up. Despite its radiance and prominence, maybe it's afraid we'll see its spots, and it might call the whole telescope of this project unflare. Even at 93 million miles away, it might try to keep its distance from the human public eye because, as they say, like farther, like sun. I'm Carlos Zeus. It's great to have Lincoln High School watching today. It's in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Could your school be picked tomorrow? Subscribe and comment on our official YouTube channel.